Mayfield shotgun back, getting heat, looks, lobs, Chubb's open, and he caught it and fights for the ball in the end zone. He's got it! Touchdown, Nick Chubb! What a catch!
Up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
98.5 The Sports, Hubbard, Toucher, and Rich, 617-779-0985. Baker Mayfield, much like he was in college, is proving himself now to be a professional douche instead of a student athlete douche.
You see, I'm telling you, and this is bad for sports talk radio, but I'm undecided on whether he's a douche or not because he's so damn exciting to watch. Like he's
that doesn't matter. He's a huge douche.
Understood, but
and he's exciting to watch because he's a midget who's out there running around, and you know, just it's a matter of time before he's going to get his clock cleared.
Okay, because you could say he's. Some people could look at some of the things he's do as being douchey. But, like, when he took on Colin Cowherd, because Colin Cowherd was ripping on him for not being with his team and celebrating and running the sidelines and goofing off, and he basically just, like, killed Colin Cowherd on his own show. I thought that was phenomenal. I even had no problem with them taking the flag on the was it the middle of the field, the Ohio symbol, and like waving that. Like I thought that was funny. I was like, dude, kid's got balls. Like I see stuff like that. And now the woke up feeling dangerous is really cheesy, but I think he also kind of did that with like a little wink.
No, I don't.
See, I think
he was that's entirely his personality. He's, he's grabbing his balls on the sideline and making everyone. And so, well, he took the Oklahoma flag and stuck it in the dirt. I mean, Michigan
Everyone's went like, out and, how
Michigan,
disrespectful.
Linebacker from Michigan went on the Michigan State ass and started clocking it, putting his foot into it.
And that's great. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that stuff.
Fine.
Like, but I'm
saying Baker Mayfield's not special in that act.
No, he's not.
But he's entirely a douche. I think that he believes he's like six-gun Charlie and that, you know, he's like coming at you. I'm Baker Mayfield.
All right, so
and I woke up this morning feeling a little dangerous. You think that he's smart enough to be ironic about that? He was doing that completely. He thinks that he's Schwarzenegger from a movie in the 80s.
Cobra. He thinks he's Cobra.
Oh, yeah, he thinks he's, yeah, he thinks he's Sylvester Stallone.
This morning I was feeling pretty dangerous.
With his stupid headband and eye black. Nice eye black, stupid. What are you, a freshman in high school?
I mean, people wear eye black in the NFL.
Eye black,
I mean,
that's, a lot of people do that.
What other quarterbacks wear eye black? I'm sure there's somebody, but
yeah, Brady's worn eye black.
Yeah. I don't think eye black is...
No, he wears...
You can complain about a lot of the other stuff.
No, he wears...
Eye black is your problem
Eye
here?
Black doesn't do anything. It's his eye black, especially playing in Cleveland. Oh, the sun's too glaring on me. Oh, I got to wear a headband. Oh, look, when was the last time you saw someone with a headband on?
Jim McMahon.
Cam Newton.
Yeah, all right, douche.
Well, okay, I will agree. I do think Cam Newton is a douche.
Yeah, he also wears
it's
like...
It's funny how someone like you could comment on sports. That's funny. Like, I mean, that drives me crazy. Yeah. Cam Newton drives me crazy.
Yeah, and he wears, like, the old flapper suits or whatever it is.
Well, that, I mean, that's just, you know, a guy just trying to, you know, make people talk about him.
Yeah, he's trying not to be... but say what you will, Baker Mayfield's a huge douche. I can't wait for him to fail. It's my new hobby.
Well, speaking of failing, Hugh Jackson, who used to be the coach for the Cleveland Browns. Now he's on the other side of this past Sunday's game when he was with the Bengals. Now, once again, he was fired, so he was just needed a job, and he was hired. And by the way, have you heard the rumors that if they do get rid of Marvin Lewis, they're considering Hugh Jackson to take over?
Oh, good for them. Cincinnati will be mediocre to poor for another decade because they're not going to fire Hugh Jackson ever. As soon as he gets that job, he's going to have it as long as Marvin Lewis did because Cincinnati doesn't fire anybody.
So after the game, Hugh Jackson went over and tried to give Baker Mayfield like kind of like one of those bro hugs, and Baker Mayfield just gave him the stiff arm and just shook his hand and walked away, and he was asked about it after the game yesterday.
He said, good job, good game. Yeah, that was brief. I didn't feel like talking.
You or him?
Me.
Why not?
I don't know. Left Cleveland, goes down to Cincinnati. I don't know. It's just... somebody that was in our locker room asking for us to play for him and then goes to a different team. We play twice a year. Everybody can have their spin on it, but that's how I feel.
So you had a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth?
No, I mean, it's just like any rivalry game. That's just how it is now. That's how I'm going to treat it every time we play them. But it's nothing, you know, there's no hate. That's just how it is. That's how I'm going to treat it. And I think that's how our team should treat it, too.
Okay, so he's steeped in that massive Cleveland-Cincinnati rivalry.
He's immersed himself in the experience, Fred.
Yeah, over the course of the couple of months he's been with the team,
yeah,
he's immersed himself in it. Are you going to play the Woody thing?
I am. You want to hear
it? Because this is, does he bring up the transfer?
He does.
All right, here we go.
So Damian Woody was on one of those shows that's only shown on mute on television.
By the way, Damian Woody, an excellent long-term NFL player. Very, very good, at least with his time with the Jets.
Baker Mayfield needs to grow up. This is pro football. You're dealing with grown men. Things happen in pro football. People get fired, go to other players get cut. They go to rivals. It happens all the time. Coach get fired. He decides to pick up a job, available job that's you know, that Marvin Lewis obviously, you know, reached out to him about. And what I found funny about this whole thing, Baker Mayfield, didn't he go from Texas Tech to Oklahoma?
Oh, preach, Damian.
You went from Texas Tech, Damian, to Oklahoma. Two teams in the Big 12, but you want to argue, you want to talk about, you want,
someone's living.
You want to talk about that. Yeah, and that's in college football. Yeah,
this is men, grown men trying to pay mortgage.
Right, yeah. You talking about guys trying to pay bills. You went from one rival to basically to another in the same conference.
Yeah, so that's what he had to say. And to that, Baker Mayfield was waking up feeling dangerous on Twitter yesterday because he saw that clip and put underneath it, not even comparable. I didn't lose 30-plus games, be fake, and then do that. I wasn't going to have a scholarship. Good try, though, buddy.
What is he talking about?
He's talking about Hugh Jackson. He's ripping
Hugh
Jackson.
No, I know, but what do you mean he wouldn't have had a scholarship?
Okay, so what's the story behind that, too? He wouldn't have had a scholarship. I don't care enough about Baker Mayfield.
He was a walk-on, right?
No, yeah, did he walk on to Texas Tech?
I thought he walked on to Texas Tech and then just transferred after
so
that.
So Texas Tech wasn't going to give him a scholarship, but Oklahoma was?
I think so.
All right.
I mean, I think.
Oh, he sat out. No, and he sat out a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, transfer.
I'm not positive,
anyway.
So.
Hugh Jackson gets paid regardless of where, if he's working or not. He has to get played by Cleveland. But the idea that there's 32 teams in the NFL and you're going to go and give a guy crap. First of all Baker Mayfield's doing is playing for the cameras. I mean, he's just sitting there like, I don't know, it's a rivalry game.
Now you sound like Fish.
You know, it's a rivalry game.
Jay Fish.
Yep, and sounds, you know, like Jay Fish.
And you know that Mayfield don't like you, the enemy. Can someone come in there and give me a hug?
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Yep, feeling dangerous.
You're going to come in here and give me... I mean, I knew you for 3 months. I got to know your style, Jack. I don't like it.
I don't know.
Mayfield shoots from the hip.
It's just there's people who immediately will say something or act a certain way, and I'll just go, douche. I mean, like when Bryce Harper, the clown question bro thing, I mean, immediately he was branded a douche. And now I think since then he's kind of behaved all right, and it hasn't quite been quite as douchey, but he's still got that brand on him, that stink.
Free agency's coming up.
Sure.
You don't act like a douche when you're going to make $300 or $400 million. Once you get that check, then you're free to go back.
Maybe you're right. Cam Newton, a douche. Like he's said enough stuff in his postgame stuff. He's mocked enough people and comes across as a douche. Baker Mayfield has not done that yet. To me, it's what he does has been funny. Like, it's been like, all right, well, this guy's kind of an a-hole, but right now he's a likable a-hole.
Okay, if I met anyone who said, I woke up this morning feeling dangerous, I would immediately erase their number from
Pete
my phone.
Did
and then
that,
I
want
to go ride in his Camaro.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just...
This morning I was feeling pretty dangerous.
I mean, dude, you've earned nothing. Like, what are you talking about? I was feeling pretty dangerous. All right, then go drive your car 500 miles.
All right, convince Fred that Baker Mayfield's not a douche. 617-779-0985.
Well,
is this an impossible task?
Yeah. I'm sure that the phone lines will love that. He's playing for the cameras. You know, I don't want to shake give the man a hug. First of all, I don't play that way.
Yeah, he's doing a little bit of that, you know, Cleveland power. I heard you know what he is? He is a little bit of Paul Stanley. You know, Cleveland likes to party. That's how we do it in the land.
Yeah, you know, the rivalry game. Yep. Wait until you're on your ass when you get cut and that you got to go find a place to play.
How soon is that?
They got he's number one overall pick, so he's got the length of the contract.
Okay, so 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, he'll be out of the NFL or cut.
In 5 years.
Yep.
So is there going to start calling Baker Eckersley?
Well, Eckersley just did it for the chicks.
Right. Look at the phones light up, Fred.
Nah, not really. All right. Somewhere Fisher's like, I like your style, kid. I got a belt buckle I think you might be interested in. It's a mold of my ladies, you know what.
You say that because you've seen one of those.
I have.
Actually, John, the phones have lit up.
Well, everyone's wrong. All right, I'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Baker Mayfield is a douche. He was a douche in college. I'm sure he was a douche in high school.
I still don't get that vibe yet. He's entertaining right now. He's too entertaining to be a douche for me.
I mean, he's everything he says that you're quote unquote finding entertaining is him being a douche.
Well, when he took on Colin Cowherd, you have to admit that was great.
I don't know if I go so far as to say it was great. I barely remember it, but
it was pretty good because I mean
but it was a douche on douche situation.
It was Clash of the Douches.
Yeah.
Once again, he pulls stuff that you shouldn't. He's so cocky that I don't think it's being douchetastic yet. I think it's just that he's kind of got balls.
Well, being
like, more than he deserves, yes.
But being cocky is one of the main things that makes you a douche. Like, if you're, like, super cocky
If you're bad at doing it, yeah, maybe.
I mean, if you could
like, Bryce Harper was bad at doing it. Because it was a guy behind him who said, that's a clown question. He's like, it's a clown question, bro.
Yeah, but that's one thing. I mean, it's not even his fault. His dad had him all screwed up, pulling him out of high school and making him go to that junior college. I mean, his life was weird. He was like a Marinovich situation. But I'll tell you that Baker Mayfield... is just awful. Anthony, go ahead.
Actually, this is Mike.
Oh, hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Actually, I see we're just making up names today. Steak and eggs, boys.
What's up,
hey?
Freddie T, don't be butthurt, man, just to get Sam Darnold a huge bust, you know?
Well, please. Sam Darnold.
We all would have liked Baker Mayfield, you know?
No, Sam Darnold is the youngest opening day starter at quarterback in NFL history. He has literally no weapons. And
I don't blame you, man. You go 25 years with a horrible team. I mean, welcome to what the Patriots were. So,
well, I mean, it's not like Cleveland has got much going on. I understand that, but there's no way that you're saying after the amount of time on the field Sam Darnold has is that.
And by the way, I got Sarge slammed yesterday.
Oh yeah,
what happened?
I did. I tried to call in to the Zolak Bertrand show, and somebody hopped on the line. Which I mean, who knows who it might have been because I was calling pretend like I was Sarge, and. Yeah, and he's like, no, you're not getting in today. Uh-huh. And then
he's on the phone. Sarge is screening calls now.
Mike Sarge Raleigh's talking to the radio.
All right, there you go.
All right, you got one there.
Let me see here. Frank, go ahead, Frank.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, Baker has to change the culture. That's what he's trying to do. He's like a better Manziel. If Manziel was actually good, he would have been able to do the same thing.
Yeah, but a better Manziel is Peterman.
Baker is good. Is that Belichick wanted him? He wanted to bring him onto the team, but he couldn't do it. He was going to trade everything he had to get this guy because he's a game changer. He's a prime time player, and he can be a little douchey. But as long as he's winning, he's fine. As soon as he starts sucking or throwing like Manziel, it's all over.
Yeah,
Manziel had chemical problems and drug problems.
Oh, but the money sign thing was douche-tastic. Like,
yes, but it's not as bad as what Mayfield's been saying. I mean, Manziel was a disaster. That's different than being a douche. And by the way, Belichick's track record of drafting quarterbacks isn't out of this world.
All I'm saying is... The caller's right. I mean, if Mayfield had been there at 10 or 11 or 12, there was that story that Belichick was willing to trade up to go get him.
Okay, well, I mean, he doesn't have a history of drafting quarterbacks.
Did get Garoppolo. That counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, you got Garoppolo, and he moved him for a second-round pick, and
I'm not. Well, I'm just. We're just talking about the drafting of the quarterbacks, not what he did after it.
And I don't know what Garoppolo is going
to
be.
He hasn't had to draft a lot of quarterbacks.
No, he's drafted a few.
Kevin O'Connell was a disaster. That was third round. He wound up being like a hanger-on with the Jets for a while, a long time ago. That was a third-round pick.
Castle got a big contract.
Castle, he was good for that one season that he needed him to be. Castle was a seventh-round pick, though.
Brissett, I mean, they got a first-round pick for him.
No, they traded him straight up for Philip Dorsett.
Well, I thought who was a first-round pick?
No, there's no Brissett, third-string quarterback, first-round pick?
Yeah, Dorsett was a first-round pick.
He was at the end of the first round, yes.
Yeah, but they got the player Dorsett, who had proved himself to be insufficient to be in an NFL team. No, I don't. Just because Belichick wanted to trade up for Mayfield, I think at this point Belichick desperately wants someone who's not Tom Brady.
Someone said Baker Mayfield is the Guy Fieri of the NFL. I don't know if I'd go that far.
It's trend. No, but I can see it trending that way.
Yeah,
I can.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine if he could do a Cribs? Anyway, this is my Scarface poster.
Yeah. So Scarface poster. This is my Camaro.
Yeah, his Cribs would probably be the thing that would turn me.
Yeah.
That would probably be the thing. Like, I don't want to know about his home life.
What's a douchey car? Right.
He would show up and it would be like, oh, who would be some of the bands that he'd be listening to?
Yeah, he'd have like what's a really bad techno band or
like those party band? Rapper guys?
Yeah. LMFAO.
Like it used to be like Schwayze and stuff like that.
Sure. So like something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it. And then he would like go like, here's the jacuzzi. You know, just party in here, take it easy. You know, hey, this is the boys' room. When the boys want to play, this is where they go.
He has a term for like a man cave. Yeah, he does. By the way, someone says, I need to hear Mark Jamelli's thoughts on Baker Mayfield. Does he have dick tendencies or not?
You are a dick.
I don't know. Maybe you have to leave that judgment.
Baker Mayfield. What a douche. Oh, yeah. Look at the Baker Mayfield with the stupid comment.
Imagine if you could clone him and the two Mark Jamelli's having a fight over laughing.
just like laughing at the same thing.
No, yeah, just looking at each other and taking turns.
Each at the same time.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Personally, I like Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to come in the league next year and he's going to light the place up. But how come nobody is talking about the fact that he stole that line from a movie?
Okay, so it's even worse.
The line was stolen. I mean, the second I saw him say that, I go, okay, Chris Kyle. And no one's even brought it up.
Okay, so it's worse. It's even worse than I suspected.
Oh, he's a douche.
Well, okay, all right, good. So you agree.
Next year, right? Touch up.
What?
He's going to be phenomenal next year.
He had 5 years of college football, essentially. You'll see. Sam Darnold's going to take a couple years. That's just the way it goes. Sam Darnold had basically a year and a half at SC. And, you know, he is going to take some time. I mean, Mayfield played in the national championship game. Mayfield had 5 years as an amateur quarterback.
Still. With the weapons he has, I mean, I think Jarvis Landry is the best one he has.
Oh, really? Who's
I'm not comparing him to Sam Darnold.
You tell me who Sam Darnold has.
I'm not comparing him. Did you hear what I just said?
No,
before you jump on me, this is not Darnold versus Mayfield. What I'm saying is Mayfield doesn't have a Pro Bowl wide receiver, doesn't have a Pro Bowl tight end. He has average to mediocre receivers, and he's performing very well.
And he's got a running back that's tearing off 150 yards a game.
Yes. Not when he first started this run, but now, yes.
No, when Mayfield started this run is after Chubb, and Chubb is, I mean, when you have a guy that's running for 150, 200 yards a game,
lot of quarterbacks that have a decent running back. This is not the first decent running back Cleveland's had.
Not it is with Mayfield.
I understand, but there have been a lot of quarterbacks that have had decent running backs behind them with Cleveland that have not performed this well. All I'm saying is the kid is different. He's worthy of the pick that Cleveland took on him, he's going to be a good quarterback. Take the personality out of it. The talent is there.
No, he's too small, and he's no Drew Brees.
I'll tell you that.
Okay.
His teammates love him, though. I watched that mic'd up segment with him. Because I like Baker Mayfield.
Sure.
And his teammates love him.
Oh, good. We'll see how long that lasts. That act can wear very, very thin.
Although he has a long period of time of like a, because it's Cleveland and they've lost for so long.
Yeah, if I played for Cleveland for any length of time, I like the guy that's given me a 4-6 record.
You've got like 3 years of basically you can do nothing,
right?
And still you're not going to be hated. Just because, I mean, look at the Brandon Whedons of the world and sure. All the crap that they've had come through their door.
Tim Couch.
Yeah, I mean, bad picks.
Manziel, yeah.
Melissa, go ahead.
No, Baker Mayfield is a douche because there was this press conference like a couple years ago when he was sick and he was about to play in a game and they were like, how are you feeling? And he was like, well, I'm not going to die or like something like that. And I remember being like, he's a douche.
Yeah. I mean, he was a douche in college. He really was.
Somebody just tweeted me a photo and I forgot because I've seen this. It's a photo of him, Baker Mayfield, with his shirt off. Sitting in front of a Rolls Royce with a Bengal tiger.
All right, case closed. Case closed.
I will say, even though I'm on team not douche, might be the strongest evidence presented yet.
Yeah. Okay.
That might be the best evidence so far.
He's leaning on a Rolls Royce like, wow, okay. And then there's a Bengal tiger. Is that supposed to be him like I'm dangerous and classy?
I don't even care about that. It's the fact that he's doing all that with his shirt off wearing jeans.
I mean,
that's pretty unforgivable. Like,
that's an ad for Maury Gator shoes from 1985 with Charles Oakley.
Okay.
I mean, that's a poster on a 15-year-old Hesher's wall. All the things in life that I want. A sweet tiger and an even sweeter ride.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
If we weren't having this argument and it was anyone else, you would just be, you would say, yes, undoubtedly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, I can be swayed. I can be swayed.
Well, there you go. You've just been swayed. The debate's over.
She said good night.
That's not even turn me loose. That's like bad, like college rap. Like those stupid college rappers. All right. Chris Forsberg covers the Celtics. He's going to join us. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cross-court pass picked off by Gordon Hayward. Off to the races, and he will slam it with two hands. Races being a relative term, but whoa. Gordon Hayward looked cut. I was surprised Solomon Hill didn't really challenge him. Gordon Hayward goes in alone. That's another turnover now. 9 for New Orleans in the first 13 minutes. Celtics had their largest lead up 15. Kyrie Irving, bounce pass for Marcus Morris. Corner three, got it.
Well, as much as Mirotić is knocking down shots, he give them and he take them.
He's a big minus in this game. Minus 16, minus 17. Celtics by 12.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Last night, the Celtics beat the Pelicans, or whatever they're called now. And
it was the first game all season long that I watched them play and said, well, this is the team that I thought we were going to be seeing.
Well, you missed the game Friday night because they really put a beating on Atlanta for long periods of time.
It's different.
In between was the bad game against Dallas, mind you, but the game against Atlanta and the game against New Orleans lead you to believe that maybe better things are around the corner.
Well, the Atlanta one was good, and it was nice, and they needed to win it, just like last night, but to do it against an elite player, and it kind of hold them to, I mean, a by his standards,
27-16.
Still,
yeah, I mean, 7.16. But
it was tough shots he was making. And for Anthony Davis, he's had better nights. I thought that it was an all around. The energy was there for all four quarters, and that was the thing that I wanted to see. And you got it last night, and they played like the Celtics of last year. And is it because Marcus Smart started? Who knows?
All right, Chris Forsberg is from NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Chris.
What's up, guys? Are we planning the parade?
That's right. It's very exciting. They limited a mere double-double. All right, so Chris, do you have any? What's going on with Gorman? Is he all right?
Yeah, he's fine. I think he just saw the break in the schedule, and hey, listen, we can carry the load. Turkey's been good.
All right, good. That's good to know.
Yeah, I think it's the first time I've ever seen him gone for three games
this
in a
long,
row.
Yeah
for this right. long, and we're gonna have him on tomorrow, and we hadn't heard anything otherwise. But you know, you just kind of get concerned, want to make sure he wasn't sick or anything.
Yeah, no, I think he's good. I think he's spending some good family time. The Celtics have a rare 3-day break here, and I think he looked at it and said, you know, he doesn't have to worry about any of us taking his job, so he can confidently go on vacation.
Well, maybe John Wallach.
I know Wallach was perched up behind. He was perched up behind the,
sitting here.
The broadcast booth.
You know,
he paid his life savings for his courtside ticket so he could perch up there.
Right. So what's okay? So Marcus Smart starts yesterday, and a lot of it's because you would think Brad Stevens' hand was forced with Jaylen Brown injured, but it worked, and they've needed that energy for a while. I like what I saw when you had Kyrie and Marcus Smart on the floor at the same time. What did you make of it, and is this something that you believe, just for the time being, Brad Stevens is going to stick with?
Yeah, so I thought the coolest part of it all was that Marcus has been that one guy who has come out and been very vocal about this team not living up to expectations. He obviously sounded off in the locker room in Portland at the end of the last road trip, and then we heard him the other night after the Dallas loss sort of saying that this team doesn't have the same personality as last year and no one fears them. You know, a lot of guys can say that, but they don't always go out there and back it up. And, well, you know, what does Brad Stevens do? No guy had even played close to 40 minutes in a non-overtime game this season. He throws Marcus out there. So I think it was like almost like a message, like, look, this guy busts his hump every time he's out there. He doesn't always make his shots, but he makes right plays and he gives you energy and he plays the way this team should want to play on a nightly basis. And it led to one of the better wins of the season. And so I think you heard Kyrie there after the game even kind of mention how much easier playing alongside Marcus Smart makes his life, because Marcus can take some of the ball handling and let Kyrie play off the ball. There's an awful lot of benefits. I don't know how long they'll stick with it when everyone's healthy, because Brad has typically loved bringing Marcus off the bench and using him as sort of like an energy guy with that second unit. But that being said, like, it looked really good last night, and it sort of reaffirmed that Marcus Smart needs to be on the court for long periods of time. And if he's going to be the guy who gives you that energy, they'll lean on it as much as they can, especially while Jaylen gets himself healthy.
I don't know, Chris. I like that starting five last night for a variety of reasons. Marcus Morris has probably been the most consistent player from the beginning of the season to now, and you start offensively with him shooting right away. You have Marcus Smart to kind of pick up the defensive slack at the other end. I don't know. I'm in favor of Brad Stevens riding this as long as they can. Obviously, they'll run into a couple of bigger teams where you need to start Baines, but against most NBA teams, I kind of like the starting lineup.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I thought it was great. I thought the one lineup that was really intriguing to me was the typical starter. So, you know, Gordon Hayward in place of Marcus Morris there with Smart, Kyrie, Jaylen, and Al. It only played like 18 minutes this season, but they got a stretch there early in the fourth quarter, and that's when they went on that little three-point barrage. I think New Orleans had got within six, and I think, you know, at least I'm sitting there thinking, oh, here we go again, Celtics fourth quarter collapse. And the, you know, where they've really struggled defensively in crunch time, but it was just the opposite. The offense was really, really good, and I'm thinking, oh, so, you know, maybe that was the key to this all. Like, their best five, the best lineup we thought was going to be with Jaylen in there, but maybe it just requires Smart to add that little bit of hustle and grit to really fuel everything. And so, yeah, ride this as long as you can. And Marcus Morris has been great, and same thing, you know, as much as we kind of look at him as an offensive player, he's really good defensively. And he's another guy that can guard any other opposing wing and at least make them work. You know, the two Marcuses, certainly the team is different when they're on the court. And I think that's what Brad's looking for right now.
You brought up Gordon Hayward, and I'm watching him last night, and he's still struggling to find his place on the offensive end of the floor. He had the one wide open corner three, but I think he finished 5 points in 20 plus minutes. He's really kind of been relegated to being a role player off the bench at this point. How long do you think that will be, and how long do you think it'll remain this way, and how much of this is physical and how much of this is, you know, what he is going to be for the rest of the season?
Yeah, you know, I think if he had asked me at the start of the season, I would have said, oh, give him till Thanksgiving or Christmas, and probably more recently I've said, oh, give him till the trade deadline. And, you know, it's just clear it's taking more time than I think any of us could have imagined for him to really get comfortable again. I go back with the part that leaves me most hesitant is when he goes to the basket and he just doesn't have either the explosion or he's hesitant. You know, that's just going to take time for him to gain the confidence. I think it was the Atlanta game. He had a nice little baseline drive and finished with a dunk. And last night he had the steal and dunk combo. But You know, just his touch around the basket isn't the same. You know, stuff that maybe is expected after being out this long. But, you know, on the other hand, too, like 20 games in now, I think I thought he'd be a little bit further along. And I don't want to put, you know, too much of the blame here on Gordon. I just think it's naturally he's got to work through this. But certainly I think there's times when, for whatever reason, if he just doesn't have it, that they've got to, you know, they can't force it. And they need to lean on the guys that are playing well. And so I don't think they've necessarily done that. But Hayward has played a lot of minutes. And so even coming off the bench, there's just going to be times where if he's struggling, I think Brad has to lean on the rest of the corner. I think we saw that a bit last night. But, you know, Gordon's important for where they want to be. And so they do have to let him work through this a little bit, you know, whether it's mental or physical. I think there's still some physical part of it in terms of trusting that leg. And so we'll see. I just think eventually he'll get there. It's just going to take more time than maybe we expected.
All right, Chris Forsberg. So I think all of us have some sort of hope that they're going to be able to get out of the slump and end up to correct things. Kind of like, you know, yesterday was a little bit of a sign of hope. But let's say they remain at 500. And let's say this continues and they're just bottom of the playoff picture, somewhere 6, 7, or 8 seed. When does Danny freak out? When does he actually, like, when does he start pushing the button and seeing if he can get some help in here?
Yeah, like, even, I know he said that he'll be patient and all that, but I do think you only naturally sit there, and when you underachieve, you can't help but look around and say, well, you know, how do you shake this thing up a little bit? I think they'll try every possible avenue to give themselves a spark before they get to that point, but you know, Danny never stops looking around the league and trying to figure out how to improve his team. You know, the one thing I will go back to is that I don't know if there's necessarily a move that I sit here and say, oh, they need this sort of player. They need another bruising big. They need another, you know, maybe the one thing you can maybe sell me on is, again, as much as we mocked Kyrie about needing that veteran presence, I don't know when they've been struggling, I don't know who that voice is in the locker room that everyone trusts that can sort of tell everybody, hey, this is how it has to be. And now it should be Kyrie. Like, Kyrie has to be the guy based on the experiences he's had and the trust that the players have in him to be able to step up and say, hey, guys, here's why we're not doing this right. And now clearly Marcus Smart has been one of those guys to step up and do it. And now that he shows it on the floor, the guys can trust that. But maybe they do need sort of another veteran voice there at some point if things remain rocky. But as far as, like, the makeup of the team and the talent they have, it's more on Brad to figure out how this all works, figure out the right lineups. Maybe last night was a step in that direction. You know, I hate to be hesitant, but nothing about this team this year has said that they've been able to put back-to-back games together and play well. That being said, like Cleveland, after a bunch of days off here, you know, they feel like they're in a good spot to start building some momentum, but they just haven't shown that they want to be consistent enough, that they're willing to put in that effort. So let's see if they can actually build off of a nice win.
Now, let's say Danny did want to make a trade at some point. Is there any player that you've seen over the last, you know, since the beginning of the season, that maybe your opinion of them and their value to this team has gone down a little bit? You said, you know what, I wouldn't feel as bad trading this person.
Well, you know, not to flip the script, but, like, you know, Marcus Morris was the guy I thought they were going to trade coming into the year because he's going to be a free agent after the season. I thought the bench was just going to have too many guys filling up minutes and that at some point he would be one of the guys to grumble and they'd have to make a move. Kind of the opposite here. I think now he's really important to what you're doing, clearly being in the starting lineup now and the way he's playing. So I guess my first instinct would say, you know, you probably revert back to someone like Terry Rozier and, you know, who's still kind of trying to figure out how he fits in here and how they can best maximize his skill set. You know, it's hard now because, again, both Marcuses were two that I thought maybe could be moved, even though Marcus signed that extension. If they were committed to finding a way to get Rozier to stay here long term, you know, it probably would have been at the expense of Marcus Smart. I think right now, you know, Rozier is probably the easy one. You know, people will start pointing to Jaylen Brown because he's struggling, but, you know, his value is lower now because he's going through this funk and he's got to sort of prove it. But you can certainly sell me that the Celtics have a little bit too much wing depth, which is ridiculous to say after we lamented how thin they were for previous seasons. But, you know, certainly they'll have options if they want to make a move and they still have plenty of intriguing guys for the rest of the league. That being said, like if they do start turning this thing around and they need everybody, I think they're just committed to keeping this core and figuring out, you know, how to make it work and divide minutes and have to pay the luxury tax that will go along with it.
All right, Chris Forsberg covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Hey, thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, appreciate
is this an all-time, like, I just think of, like, the last decade or so. Are there more games played with the Bruins and the Celtics on the same night
than, I can't ever remember a recent memory? A run like this. It's always been every other day for both teams for whatever reason. But what is this, 5-6 games in a row where they played the same night?
Yeah, you know, last year was pretty bad. I remember that being kind of standing out going, this is strange. But this year is gratuitous.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a lot. All right, we will be back in just a moment. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Nick in front of a city council.
Thatcher and Rich.
.5 The Sports Hub. We are Thatcher and Rich. I know a lot of people are down on the space program, but I don't think they realize what real life ramifications those have. In that, like, the microwave oven was due to a space exploration. Power tools were due to space exploration. A lot of things. Those are two minor ones. But I will say this: the NASA got that InSight probe on the Mars. And the reaction of them celebrating is not athletic.
Is it fantastically nerdy? I have not watched it.
Yeah, there is a they made up these handshakes that are something that you would not want to do if you were just roaming around the streets.
Like secret handshakes?
Oh yeah, but remember the you know, like with slapping and rocking back and forth and things like that.
Maybe they're Masons. Maybe it's the secret handshake.
Well, this is your mom talking. Their mom was afraid of the Freemasons, correct?
She's not like that. She once told my wife, Rich's grandfather was a Mason, and that's unfortunately something he's going to have to live with his whole life.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting. Now, because
how much does that weigh on you?
It kills me. Every single. It's the first thing I think about every morning.
Okay, so what is the deal with the
There is a faction of super Catholics who think that the Masons are up to shenanigans, and I find it fascinating. Like there's, you know, according to there's certain people who believe that there's a lot of satanic messages in like the just the graphics that they use or their little symbols and symbolism.
You got to know about the so many people are involved in the Freemasons.
Well, I mean, it is, you know, they control everything.
Right.
And you know, when you see the people doing, you know, community service work and old guys hanging out together and patting each other on the back, you can tell that they control it all.
Well, Trump was a huge Freemason.
Was he really now?
Yes.
He's a member of the Stonecutters.
people that grow up with tons of money, I imagine, just go right into the Freemasons. But she's concerned about that.
She made that statement one time to my wife, which I thought was hysterical.
Now, was it your grandfather?
Yes, my father's father was a Freemason.
Now, did that affect her willingness to marry your father? Or was that kept secret until the marriage was well established?
I think that was something that was maybe in the dark corners of the, you know.
You got to hide that.
Or I also, at that point, I don't think that my parents were into, like, as deep into the religion as they are now, or as my mother is, because my father's no longer here. But so he, like, you know, I have a feeling that certain people that you surround yourself with tell them theories and stories and books are written, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, Masons are sacrificing goats in the middle of the street.
I wonder if it was like a Indiana Jones situation where, like, she was just going through the house and then she found some box and dusted it off and opened it up, and then Freemason stuff was glowing.
She saw me, and it just starts singing, and the pages open by themselves, and a light shoots, and a beam of red light shoots out of it.
She might be listening right now, but it would be funny if you called your mom and just had a conversation and taped it and said, oh, by the way, like, I'm endorsing the Freemasons.
I've joked with her about that. She knows, that's the one thing I always bust her jobs about, was that she thought the Masons were evil. Still kind of does.
No. She must know what she's talking about.
I mean, listen, who knows? All I know is that those meetings, have you ever seen what happens inside of them? I mean, they are really creepy, the way they take that foam bat and bop you over the head.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.